From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us today. This is Alan Cairns saying hello to you, and welcome to Let the Bible Speak. Remember that currently we have started out on a fairly long course of studies on the law of God. We were dealing with the law in general, and then each of the Ten Commandments in particular. The general subject is the law of God in relation to the cross and the Christian. What we're going to try to keep in focus is the relation of the law and the gospel, for this is the key to the interpretation of the entire revelation of Scripture. Do pray for these messages as they go forth. Pray that the Lord will bless them to you and to everybody else who in His providence will be listening in. Do remember the various resources also that we bring to your attention here on Let the Bible Speak from day to day, and you can obtain these by writing to us or calling us toll free. Some of them that I have mentioned are, in recent times, Dr. Ed Panosian's message on Islam, either on cassette or CD, a very important message from a top scholar and historian, something that I think will be informative and instructive to you. And then there is the Let the Bible Speak monthly tape or CD. This is a tape or CD magazine, electronic magazine, that I think will be of real help and blessing to you. Again, it's yours by writing to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615, or by calling us toll-free at 866-877-5827. We trust that you'll be in touch very soon. And we trust also that as often as you can, you'll visit our letthebiblespeakradio.com site on the internet, ltbsradio.com. There you'll find, I trust, a lot to interest you. The site is developing constantly. We're adding our program material to it, and you can listen again or read again the various commentaries that we bring to you here on Let the Bible Speak. As I said the other day, we want you to learn about Let the Bible Speak and to take this ministry to your heart in earnest daily prayer for the blessing of the Lord upon it. And now we're going to hear the 23rd Psalm, sung to a different tune than some of you may have been used to. The tune is called Orlington. The message is always the same. The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. Yesterday I commented on a report by a participant in an Outward Bound Unity course in which the instructor employed a fallacious illustration to convince her that America was not, as she had thought, a land of equal opportunity, but rather was a nation fractured by systemic social injustice. From that report, I said that there were a couple of warnings that I should issue. The first I dealt with yesterday. Today I come to the second, and here it is. Something I have told people for many years, and yet, simple as it is, something that people find hard to grasp. Here's the warning. Always beware of anyone who builds a doctrine on an illustration. Always beware of anyone who builds a doctrine on an illustration. It's common for people to do this, but however common, it's dangerous. Today I'm concerned with the use of this tactic in matters of Christian doctrine and Christian practice. Illustration may be employed legitimately only when we have established the truth of our position from Scripture. Then it may throw light or facilitate understanding. But illustration is illegitimate. Analogy is illegitimate when we use it as the basis of a proposed dogma or action that we can't establish from the plain Word of God. I have met people who have done this in their zeal against the evil abortion industry. They have argued, and here they were led by an eminent but misguided theologian, as follows. If you saw a baby in a burning house, you'd break in and try to save it, without worrying if you were trespassing. And if you knew that in a given house a man with a gun was about to shoot a baby, you'd do everything in your power to save the baby, even if it meant you had to kill the gunman. We know that babies are dying in abortion clinics, and therefore we should get into those clinics and rescue the innocents. And we should do whatever it takes, even up to killing the abortionists, to stop them from slaughtering any more babies. That's the kind of argument that I have heard, and I'm sure you've heard. I don't know really if you've come up against it personally. But a few years ago, it was certainly popular among a certain class of professing Christians. It's a total fallacy to think that Christians have the right to invade abortion clinics and by brute force to stop their activities. It's an evil departure from the Word of God for any Christian to make himself the judge and to take the sword and become a killer even of an abortion doctor. But many gullible people swallowed the argument, which wasn't an argument, but a fallacious illustration. If they had stuck with the plain teachings of Scripture, they would never have fallen for such an egregious error as to teach that Christians have the right to murder abortion doctors. Christ's disciples made this very same kind of mistake when they said, Elijah called down fire, so Lord, do you want us to do the same against the Samaritans? Immediately the Lord Jesus repudiated their false conclusion. Had they studied the two scenarios, they would have found striking dissimilarities. But they jumped to a foolish conclusion by the employment of a vicious illustration. When preaching in Canada, I made this point to a man who was arguing that he had the same right to kill abortionists as he had to protect a child's life by shooting a gunman who was threatening to harm it. Thankfully, like most of his kind, he was simply playing a mental game and had no notion of killing anyone. Nevertheless, even making the argument from his illustration is sinfully wrong-headed, for he has no guarantee that someone else will not proceed to put into action his crazy idea. The Word of God is sufficiently clear to guide us in what we should believe and how we should live. Any time a man asks you to believe something or do something that does not sit well with your conscience, stop, and see if he's not confusing your mind by appealing to emotions with an analogy or an illustration that has no warrant in the plain teaching of Scripture.
Fill all my vision, Savior, I pray. Let me see only Jesus today. Though through the valley Thou leadest me, Thy fadeless glory encompasseth me. Fill all my vision, Savior divine, till with Thy glory my spirit shall shine. Fill all my vision, that all may see Thy holy image reflected in me. Fill all my vision, let not of sin shadow Thy brightness shining within. Let me see only Thy blessed face, feasting my soul on Thy infinite grace. Fill all my vision, Savior divine, till with Thy glory my spirit shall shine. Fill all my vision, till all shall see Thy holy image reflected in me.
The third reason why God gave His law was to establish the only standard of acceptance with Him. Why did God give His law? Micah tells us, He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord thy require of thee, but to do justly and love mercy, and walk humbly with thy God. The law sets forth God's standard of holiness. It shows what God expects, yea, what God demands, and the only thing that God will accept. Paul says, it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. That's the standard, total and perfect, absolute and impeccable obedience. Not just in what the old Puritans used to call the substance or the matter of the commandment, but also in the motive. I must confess, as I studied this and thought about it this week, I came to realize I doubt, and I say this very honestly, I doubt if there is ever one thing I have done in all my life that I could honestly look up to God and say, there is obedience. You see, it's not just in the outward form, but it's in the inward desire of the heart to do that for the sole honor and glory of the Lord Himself. What a standard for acceptance with God. The Bible knows absolutely nothing of this myth that some of the Jews have taught for a long time, and now it has become almost so-called Christian orthodoxy, that God will take your life
And he'll weigh up your good deeds and your bad deeds. And if your good deeds outweigh your bad deeds, you'll be all right. But if they don't, well, who knows what's going to happen to you? But that's neither Christian nor Orthodox. It's the lie of the devil. First of all, if God weighs up all your deeds, let me tell you, you'll find they'll all be on the one side, the wrong side. The standard is absolute, perfect, unblemished obedience, short of which there is no hope of being acceptable to God. Thus, the fourth reason God gives his law is to establish the guilt of fallen man. Paul made this abundantly clear. He says, we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world become guilty before God. Why does God reveal his law? He reveals his law so that his witness to every man in Adam, fallen and unclean, will be clear. Guilty. Guilty. Guilty before God. The Lord Jesus says, there is one that accuseth you, even Moses, that is the law. The law accuses the lawbreaker. How many people kid themselves, well, nobody has seen me do this. Nobody knows that I think that. My hidden life is just that. It is hidden. You go through life with the bland smile of the hypocrite. Remember the words of Hagar, thou God seest me. That law that is written in the heart will rise up as a vocal advocate of your doom, will accuse you. And then, as we have read in Galatians 3:10, condemn you. God thus establishes the guilt of every man by nature. And the fifth reason he gives his law is therefore to slay all self-righteousness. Now put these things together. If God by his law establishes the standard of acceptance with him as absolute, sinless, undeviating perfection in obedience to the substance and spirit of the law, if in so doing he establishes the guilt of every man by nature, then he also slays the self-righteousness of the heart of every Pharisee. And that means every one of us. Oh, by nature, how we love to hide behind our own self-righteousness. Well, maybe this is true, but there's always the but. I, judged by the standard of somebody else, I can convince myself that I am so upright, so holy, so decent, so good. But God does not allow us to judge ourselves by others, but by the standard of His immutable law. And by that standard, He says, your righteousnesses are as filthy rags. My, what a shocker that is. There is sin in the holiest desire that you've ever felt. There is corruption in the most upright thing you've ever done. There is selfishness in the most selfless action you've ever taken. There is rebellion in what you have taken to be the greatest submission to God. We are all as an unclean thing very righteousness as a filthy rag. It's why Paul says, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. It's why Jesus said to the Jews of his day, except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. And while it is easy to bash the scribes and Pharisees, let us say this, that by the standards of the lives of churchmen today, these would be the most celebrated paragons of virtue in America. Were they with us? Jesus looked at the people and said, look, if your righteousness can get no better than theirs, you can't be saved. Because, as Paul puts it, it is not by works of righteousness that we have done, but it is according to God's mercy that He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Which brings me to the heart of the message. The sixth reason why God gave His law was to lead sinners to Christ. To lead sinners to Christ. The law of God exposes sin and the sinner. It tears away the veil from the heart. It convicts. If you haven't begun to feel tonight just how great a sinner you are, you need to be scared. You can open your heart to what the Bible says about the law of God and just glibly say, oh, well, it doesn't apply to me, or I don't want to think about it, or, man, you're in trouble. I know as a Christian, when I come to study God's law, it devastates my soul and all hope in myself. But thank God it points me to Christ. Paul said the law was our schoolmaster. And of course he's using that term in its ancient connotation. Schoolmaster then wasn't there to pamper you. A schoolmaster would use the whip and a lot more. He was a slave driver until you came to graduate from school. Just as a schoolmaster would whip and cajole and hurt and drive his student to learn, so the law whips and wounds in order to lead us to Christ. Because listen, God demands a perfect righteousness, and the gospel points to Christ and says, Christ has provided it. God says, here is my standard, impeccable obedience. The gospel points to Christ. And God the Father speaks from heaven and says, yes, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. The gospel tells us that Christ is made unto us righteousness. Oh, the law would bring us wounded, condemned to the feet of Jesus.
Been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we Let the Bible Speak.